Good morning, everybody. So it's a bit cold, so maybe you guys must sit close to somebody if you're sitting on your own. So I'm just going to pray for us before I start sharing the word, so you can just close your eyes. Yes, Father, we thank you for the massive privilege, Father, it is every Sunday to come and just fellowship together with our brothers and sisters, Father. And we thank you this morning, Father, we're so blessed, Father, to even have a baby dedication. And Lord, we just come before you this morning. We open up our hearts, Father, to receive, Lord, and that you really come and just tug on our hearts, Father, that you can just come and implant your heart or your word in our hearts this morning, Lord. Amen. So this morning I'm just going to share something that we've touched on. We've got a monthly Bible study in our church. It's usually the first Wednesday of every month. So I'm going to start off by what we did in the Bible study. I think it was 2 weeks ago. And it's really around the contrast. If we think, we all know there's an Old Testament and there's a New Testament. So there's, there used to be the law. And that's how you used to be, have to come to God through all the rules and regulations of the Jewish law. You had to follow it to the T, and then that's how you served God. And then we all know the New Testament or the New Covenant started when Jesus came. And then the rules changed a little bit. So that's sort of the idea that I want to speak a little bit about, that contrast. The law versus grace, or works versus faith. The whole contrast regarding those elements. So the scripture that we talked about at the Bible study, if you can put it up, it's Mark 11, 22 to 24, and that's, Daniel's been taking us through the book of Mark for the past few months. So I'm just going to read it for us. Have faith in God. Jesus answered, truly, I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. So, it took us about 2 hours to really get to the meaning of the scripture. So, please speak to somebody that was there, or to Daniel, that was the one that really took us through the scripture. So, what we did is we looked at all the verses around where this happened in the Bible to really see what is it that this scripture is saying. And right before this, we've got the scene where Jesus entered Jerusalem on the donkey. And we've got the scene where Jesus actually went to the temple and he found all the people selling stuff, the sacrifices in the temple. And then we get the fig tree that Jesus cursed, and then it comes to this scripture, and this is his sort of response to that. So what we ended up with was that this scripture really, if you look at that last verse that says, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. So without going into too much detail, as Daniel explained, that it's really, it can really mean that if you ask for anything in prayer and you believe it, you'll receive it. That there's no limits or boundaries to that. I think Daniel said it's like a name it, claim it type of thing, and it sort of leans towards a type of prosperity gospel where, if I want something, I'm going to ask for it in prayer and I'm going to believe it, I'm going to get it. And maybe some of us have prayed prayers like that, that didn't happen. So I think something in us knows that that's not really the true meaning. And I think the next step is then to add the disclaimer that you can do that, but it must just be within God's will. Then you'll receive it. And I'm not saying that that's not true, but what we got from this specific scripture was that it actually talks about if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they will say will happen, it will be done for them. And we saw that actually talks about what Jesus did in the temple and how he actually went to overthrow the religious system of the day, and almost bringing an end to that old covenant way of obtaining salvation. And Daniel, you're welcome to correct me if I'm wrong. So what we then got, the last scripture then really talked about, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. And what it actually, if we can maybe rephrase it, that if anyone asks for mercy and forgiveness and believes that they have received it, it will be yours. And that is really the thing, that when Jesus came to the temple, he didn't find the fruit that he was looking for. And that's how we compared it to the fig tree story. Also, we saw that Jesus came and, you know, that whole religious system was so strong that he had to come and overturn it and bring the new covenant. And he actually likened it to, you know, it's casting a mountain into the sea. And that's how big of a thing it is to get that old religious system out of us. And the next one, that receiving the new covenant, the new way of grace, is actually also such a matter of faith, that it's something that you have to believe and pray for, because I think naturally it's not that easy for us to receive it. And that was it's a really powerful message, especially for me the last while, because I always find myself living within those contrasts, and then you know, when the pressure comes, and the last while with work and family and things, there's been so much pressure, and then it surfaces that you've got a list and you've got tick boxes. And when the pressure comes and there's not enough time to tick all my boxes, then I realize I'm falling short of my own list. And what I realize is that, you know, I really want to be a good husband. I want to be a good father. And it's almost as if I've got my sort of 10 commandments for being a good father, and 10 commandments for being a good husband, and 10 commandments for being a good employee, and 10 commandments for being a good church member and a Christian. And the list goes on and on and on and on, and it just gets bigger. And that's when there's not time to go through all the things that I think I need to do to become a good person, whatever the context may be, then I'm stuck. Because now all of a sudden, you know, I think, you know, I have to go to intercession on Monday, and I have to go to small group on Wednesday, and I have to go to church on Sunday. And then if things are really, there's a lot of pressure and I can't make one of those, you know, then I've got a problem. Or with children, there's so many things that we feel we need to give or to do with our children to be good parents. And sometimes it's literally just not possible to meet all the expectations of the culture around us. And that's where, you know, you'll get stuck, because you'll be able to tick off your list to a certain point. And then what? And then you're in trouble. And that's why it's such a dangerous way of living, all right? And it will always get you into trouble. I think the main thing is that we almost condition in a certain sense, and I think the people of that day, especially the Jews, were conditioned in that way, that you have to do to become something, all right? So, I mean, we see it every day in our own lives. We have to do X, Y, and Z to be a good parent. We have to do X, Y, and Z to be a good Christian, and then we get our identity from doing those things. And that's what I want to come and challenge this morning, is that if you are here and you've got that mindset and that way of living, then we need to change it. And then we almost need to walk into the temple like Jesus walked into the temple and be strong, right? So Paul did that in Galatians, where the church actually also went that route. You know, they went back to the way of works. And Paul went to them and very strongly addressed them on this issue. So I'm going to read for us. If you've got your Bibles, I don't think I put all these scriptures on the slides, so you can go to Galatians 3, verse 1 to 14. And then I'm just going to read it for us. So is everybody still with me? Okay, let's go. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning by the means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? Have you experienced so much in vain, if it really was in vain? So again I ask, does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law, or by your believing what you heard? So also Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse, as it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, it says, the person who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. So, Paul was obviously addressing all the churches in the Galatia region. And there was a group of people, they called them Judaizers, people that were Jews and then accepted Christ as the Messiah, but then also stuck to all the Jewish methods as well. But now they had a problem where Gentile people came into the church that weren't Jewish in their background and didn't apply all those laws, and specifically around the circumcision. So Paul really came out strongly against them and opposed them and said, you know, you guys started out in the Spirit and now did you go back to the flesh? And it's interesting, if you go read the book of Galatians, you know, all the different aspects that Paul actually links to this issue. And we'll get to one of them later. But that's, with us, I think the issue isn't always of coming to Christ and doing it by works initially. We also come and we understand that we need to be saved, not by what we do, but that it's a matter of grace through faith. But then, as we walk and as we become sort of older Christians, and I'm using older instead of mature Christians, because sometimes we become older and we actually become not mature in some areas where, you know, we go back to the fleshy ways, which is one of the issues that Paul addressed here. So recently, if you go to the next slide, you can go to the next one. There we go. So I've put on something that Vince said. I think he shared it in intercession. I'm not too sure. But he basically said that God's grace is not only for salvation, but it's for post-salvation. If you go to the next slide, it's Martin Luther also had the same thing, where he said it's not only is a sinner saved by grace through faith, but a saved sinner also lives by grace. So grace is not only the way we are saved, it is also our way of life from that time forward. And Galatians, I think, was Martin Luther's favorite book of the Bible. And he also wrote a big commentary on it. And I think it was, you know, the whole Reformation, by being saved by grace through faith, was one of the big revelations that he had. But it's so powerful to actually grasp a thing that we need to live gracefully after receiving grace. And many times we don't do that. And we still live with that stick behind us that dictates what we have to do and what we shouldn't do. And it's very burdensome, all right? And it causes a lot of bondage. So I also read somebody said that Galatians is almost like the freedom charter for Christians. And it talks a lot about our liberty and living a life of freedom instead of in this bondage all the time of having to do this and having to do that. And with with work and with family, sometimes it's so liberating not to look at my list of things and see where do I tick them off or where I don't tick them off, but really just coming to Christ and knowing who He has made me and the identity that He placed on me and how He blessed me, and to live from that place where naturally the things that you will do will bear good fruits. So the question really is that we need to ask, how does the way we live look like? All right? Do we have that set of rules that we tick off, that we obey? Or are we actually living from a place of freedom where we're not as pedantic about the A, B, and C list, but really about our fulfillment within Christ? And that is the question that we need to ask for ourselves. And I know that for many or most of us, we're not that far back that we 100% do works. Okay, but the issue is we're not 100% on grace either. So we sort of have a works plus grace, faith type of thing, where we try and tick off almost the commandments to a certain level and then want to ask God for forgiveness for the rest, you know, the ones that we can't get to. And that's the problem. So if I go through the Ten Commandments, you know, you don't steal from your neighbor or do this, don't envy and don't commit adultery, most of us will be able to tick off quite a few of them. But that's not the point, all right? It doesn't matter how many you can tick off or not, because that isn't the relevant area anymore. So the question that we then ask is, well, you know, we don't have this list of things that we need to do. So what is it? How must we live? What should we do? And I want to read in Galatians 5, I think it's on there, that it says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. If you go to the next slide, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." And if we look just at the fruits of the Spirit, I'm just thinking of myself, how the last 2 weeks I've been so busy and so much pressure at work. You know, I get angry so quickly in situations or when things don't work out. And then I realized, well, it's not a fruit of the Spirit, but a fruit of the flesh. So I'm obviously doing something wrong. And just, you know, it says fits of rage. And that's almost something that I experienced where I realized I'm doing it wrong. There must be something that I'm missing. And I got the answer with this scripture by really walking in the Spirit, yielding to God and saying that in my own strength, I'm falling short. So in your strength and by your Spirit, I can actually have not fits of rage, but just peace and gentleness, even though things aren't working out how I planned. And if we look at these fruits, love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You know, who wouldn't want them? All right, they're all good, and we all wanna live from that place. But like it says, it's a fruit of the Spirit, and we need to walk and keep in step with God's Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was given to us to live this Christian life correctly. All right, so if we miss living by the Spirit, then we will default on living according to the law. And that is the problem. And I think when it comes you know, to the gospel message, and those who come from Stellenbosch would have maybe sat under Sias's teaching regarding salvation, and he always explains it so nicely that you know, we're all born in sin, so we're all sinners. You don't have to sin to become a sinner. You're born that way. So when you commit sins, it's because that's who you are. All right? You created or you were born like that. So he always says that you you sin because you are a sinner. Okay, so it's speaking about identity. It's who you are will determine what you do. And now what we want to try and do, we can't come in and take off the sin and then become good. You know, we have to change who we are before we'll change our behavior. And the best example of that is using the example of a fruit tree. If you have a fruit tree that's it's an apple tree, and it's going to have apples because that's just what it does. Now, if you take off all the apples and hope that next year it's going to be oranges, next year is going to come and it's going to be apples again. Unless you take the tree out of the ground and you plant the orange tree, and maybe next year or in 2 years, 3 years' time, you'll have oranges. And that's what needs to happen with us, is we can't come and take pluck off all the sin, and then hopefully next year we'll have good deeds and good works, because we need to change our identity. All right, and that's a very key aspect always of the gospel for me, is that transformation bit, that you have to have a change of being. Who you are needs to change. So if we want to take that, you know, that we need to do good works because we were transformed into a good person. Okay, we don't do good works so that we can become a good person. So it's almost very technical, but it's very powerful. So I've got something that Keith Green said, that going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than sleeping in a garage makes you a car, or than going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger. All right. So he just said the same thing, just with a bit of humor in it. But that just also speaks to the same thing. It doesn't matter if we come to church or do the right stuff, that those things shouldn't define us, give us our value and our identity. All right, we need to come first, receive from Christ our true identity, and from that place go and live and grow and mature and bear good fruits. So, I don't know if you've heard, for those of us who are Afrikaans, if you've done something, you just say, "Ek is ook maar net 'n mens," okay? Or I'm just a human being, all right? And I actually sometimes challenge that when we say that, because you know, I also use it. And what we actually say is we refer to the sinful nature. You know, I was just born, I'm just a human being that's born in sin, and you know, I make mistakes. But actually, if you've been saved, then you actually don't have a sinful nature anymore, all right? You've actually been transformed. You've received a new nature. So you can't actually use that excuse any longer, because then you're saying, well, you've still got your sinful nature and you're saved. But then, you know, we missed the transformation bit where the old tree is taken out, it's gone. And like the scripture says, speak to the mountain, cast it into the sea. Okay, that it must be gone. But somehow it always makes a comeback, right? Somehow it always finds another place where it can surface again. So that's for me one of the biggest areas where I always get challenged in, is when I look at myself and then when I look at other people. It's not about judging people on what they do in that sense and then giving them their identity. And that's sometimes when we want to talk about getting prophetic or something, you know, you want to call out something in someone that is there that's maybe not showing, all right? So you can't always just look at the surface level. You have to go deeper. So if I've got friends that I know believe in Christ and they've been saved, and what I see is contrary to that, sometimes you just need to remind them of this fact that they've been a new creation, All right? And that's not who you are any longer, because we forget. So I want to actually end off by just reading Galatians 5, the last part again. Unless you guys can come up, then we'll finish with this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Okay, and that is the message this morning. That if we are here and we have become Christians, then we need to make sure that we live according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. And maybe if you're not a Christian, then maybe this is good news to you. That you don't have to wait to get certain actions right. You know, to quit smoking or to quit drinking or to quit doing drugs and then come to Christ. Because then you've already made the mistake before even starting. Okay, you need to come and then we can deal with the issues, because it will be dealt with first, uprooting the old man. And if I think in Philippians 3, Paul actually went through his credentials, where he's a Hebrew of the Hebrews and he was circumcised on the eighth day, and he went through the whole list of things that actually, if you were to tick off all the boxes, he would have pretty much ticked off all of them. But he said, I've counted all these things as lost so that I may gain Christ. So that's a powerful thing coming from Paul, actually, you know, almost saying, I can tick off the boxes, but I'm gonna not come in that way. I'm gonna come in a different way. Okay, and that's the way that we must come as well. So that we can actually put our credentials, because we find, we know, we sometimes excel at work, we get promotions, we buy our first house, our first car, and we sometimes think, you know, I'm starting to tick off some boxes. And then we start to think that we can somehow rely on our own efforts. And that's where the danger comes in, because then it spills over into all the other areas. And we can't live like that in one area and think that we're living, you know, we live by the law, maybe in work and family and this and that. But when it comes to Christ and my relationship with Him, now I'll do it the grace way. It's not like that. All right, so let's just stand. And then I'm just going to close off us in prayer. And let's just close our eyes. And maybe if you're here this morning, and I'm not going to call you forward, but if you are here and that this thing speaks to your heart, that this is the way that you are actually currently living, more by a rule book than by the Spirit, then I want you to just raise your hand as a sign of surrender, that you realize you want to give that up. So if there's anybody like that, just raise your hand and I'm going to pray for us. Yes, Father, we come this morning and we just thank you for the good news of your gospel, Father, where we don't have to go through all this effort within ourselves, Lord, and make ourselves tired and get burnt out, Father, just to try and attain a righteous life, Lord, or just to attain salvation, Father, or acceptance in the world, Father, Lord. We thank you that is not how we are called to come, Father, but that we have been saved by grace through faith, Lord, and that we can live by grace through faith as well, Father, Lord. And we just come this morning, we ask that your Holy Spirit will just come upon all of us, Father, that we can live in the Spirit and be in step with the Spirit, that our fruits, Father, will be fruits of the Spirit, of joy, Father, where so many times we've come, Father, and we haven't been able to tick all our boxes, Lord, and our joy has almost left out of the window, Father, Lord. And we just come and ask, for you to come and restore that joy, Father, and just that this week when we go out, Father, that the joy will just flow from within us, Father, because that is just the fruit of your Holy Spirit, Lord. And we just submit that to you now in the name of Jesus.